This morning, we're going to take time and we're going to kind of tell the story of Christmas. And the story is for kids. Did you know that? You think Christmas is for kids? Is it for you? It's not for you? Is it for everybody? I think Christmas is for everybody. I think Christmas, though, once we understand Christmas, we become the children of God. Now, they're welcome to stay if you want them to stay or not, but if y'all want to take the little ones. So the little ones, 3 through 5th grade, three, four, and five-year-olds, if you have one of those, you need to do the regular checkout, all right? So make sure you pick them up. Or we're going to have Christmas with them right here. All right. So, but we become children of God. And as children, we celebrate that story every year. As children of God who sent his son, and Jesus, it says, become our brother. And so, if you ever wondered, anybody not have a brother? I had two of them, now I got three. But one's really good. Jesus is real good. So this morning, I thought it'd be good, though, if we just tell the story of Christmas. And we go act it out. Is that okay? So let me begin with an opening passage found in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And this is what it tells us out of God's Word. So I need all the children listening today. Amen? All right. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Verse 27. We're just going to read through it. To a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." All right, so we have Mary and Joseph. Come on over. I'm going to separate you for a moment. I'm going to even take the baby for a moment. All right, we're going to get there. We got to get to our story. Okay, go ahead and put my next scripture up. "He will be very great," the angel told Mary, "and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David." He goes on and says, "And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren. She has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail." And church, we quoted that last week together. You need to know all throughout the word of God, what he promises, he fulfills. And what he says, if you believe, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that Christ died and rose from the dead, you will be saved. Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So here's kind of what happened. Can I have an angel? I need an angel. Joseph, I need you to go to sleep right over there. That's a good place, right under the tree. Lay down, Joseph. Lay down. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. There he's got it. So kind of the story is something like this, maybe. But the Bible says that an angel appeared to Mary. I don't know about you, but if an angel showed up in your room, what would you think about that?
I'd probably be really scared.
Probably be scared. Well, that's exactly because the angel said, do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
Yeah. I think a lot of us might feel that way if that was to happen, because it was like, that's out of the norm to have an angel appear. But the angel, as God always, he is a person of peace. And you need to know, if you're not at peace, then you need to know that the Lord may not be in that. When the Lord shows up, he always says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. If we really trust that the Lord has got things, he's got them. And he's going to take care of you, Mary. And the angel began to tell her the story of how the Holy Spirit would come over you, and that you would have a baby, and he would be the Son of God. Wow, what a message. Wouldn't you like to have been the angel he would have sent to tell that kind of message that would save every one of these people? The angel got to tell a story, Gabriel. The most wonderful message that we would hear in our eternal lives as human beings. And Gabriel got chosen to come and tell that message. Well, the angel did go away. And Mary was kind of left to ponder all this. And the Bible says that she pondered it in her heart. She weighed through everything that was said and was trying to say, Lord, but she was willing. And she said, let it be to me as you have said, and God will fulfill his word. Well, while Mary was working on that, we had another character in the story. His name is Joseph. And Joseph, it says that he was dreaming, actually, because when he kind of heard about all this, he was a little bit confused. And in his dream, he said, an angel of the Lord came to him in his dream and told him to not be afraid. Joseph, you don't have to be afraid. I'm your conscience while you're asleep. Everything the Lord has spoken to Mary is going to be okay. You go ahead, you take her as your wife, everything's going to be good, all right? And that's kind of what the angel was telling him in his dream. So Joseph got up from his sleep. Obedient Joseph, always really good. And he came with Mary, and all of a sudden, he said, everything's going to be all right. I'm going to take you. You're going to be my wife. And you know what? Sometimes in decision making, and most of you know the story, it says that Joseph struggled with this. He was going to put her away. He was trying to be kind. But church, we just need to keep listening for the voice of God in our lives. And when we hear the voice of the Lord, then we can follow. So I want you to slip over right behind the Christmas tree, and we're going to tell the next part of the story. The next part of the story is this. Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem because they were going to take a census. And in this census, so that they could count everybody had to go back to their own town. So they made a trip all the way to Bethlehem, and she was just about to have the baby. All right, so they came to Bethlehem. I don't know if she rode a donkey. Maybe Joseph rode the donkey. I'm not sure. But they got to Bethlehem. You can face the crowd. That is a cool donkey, man. And so they got to Bethlehem. And when they got there, they were trying to find a place to stay. Has anybody traveled and had a tough time finding a spot to stop and rest? I have. And I apologize, sweetheart, once again, because we ended up in a dive, and it was the only place. It kind of reminded me of the story. I remember getting into the hotel room, and my whole family's going, this is not normal. And they went in the bathroom, and it got even more unnormal. And it was not good. So anyway... I kind of wonder if Mary and Joseph felt some of that, because all of a sudden they came to the innkeeper. I'll be the innkeeper this morning. And they asked the innkeeper, you know what he asked the innkeeper? You don't remember? He said, do you have a room? Yeah, you can ask that. Yeah. Do I have a room? We are all full up. I don't know what happened. Y'all guys are running a little bit behind. Maybe that's because of your wife over there, but we're... I'll pay for that one later. It's Christmas. Anyway, so, but we don't have any rooms. I'm sorry. So many times we make the innkeeper out to be kind of a bad guy. I don't know if the innkeeper was a bad guy, but every room was taken. There was no room to put anybody in, so he just didn't have any room. Sometimes we think the innkeeper may have taken him to the stable. I don't know what happened. All I know is that there was no room in the inn, and somehow Mary and Joseph found the exact place. I want you to think about this. They found the exact place that God wanted Jesus to be born. I think sometimes we think it was the second place. It was the first place. And sometimes in our doings, we get ahead of God and try to find something we want. And God says, no, that door's shut because I've got something else in store. Because I need him to come in such a humble way that everybody in the world will accept him. See, if he would have been born in a palace, I wonder if some of us would have said, he's just too great for me. But it was a stable that they went to. And in that stable was a place, a manger we call it, for feeding the animals. And the animal came over and had a little bit to eat. Yeah. And he got full and quit eating. It may have done a little bit of a kick. I'm not sure. Yeah. But they ended up in a stable. I'm not sure. I need one more animal in my stable. Yeah, so this is what a stable looks like. And so, animals sometimes don't get along, just so they know. Church, this is not the place we would have chosen. Did you know this is not, would you want Jesus to be born right here? No. In fact, unfortunately, even the beauty of all of this place, this is more beautiful than a stable would ever be. But you know, it was in a humble place that Jesus was born for you, so you could know him. Well, so the story kind of goes on, and the stable is here, and it came time, the Bible says, for the baby to be born. And the baby came forth, and the Bible says, what did they wrap him in? Linens and cloths and swaddling clothes. This is a really nice blanket, isn't it? You think Jesus was wrapped in something that nice? Probably not. But again, we look at so much in our lives and our coverings. Church, you come to church because you're the people of God, not because of the way you're dressed. Thank the Lord. And he accepts us. And I don't know where somewhere down the road somehow dress got associated with the church and with people of God. And though there are times I wear a suit, other times I wear jeans and a jacket, the church, it's a matter of the heart, not the outward. He always looks at the heart. And then the Bible says that Mary placed him in that manger and swaddling clothes. And she did it so gently. I need to give those descriptions a little bit earlier. No. So anyway. All right, I'm going to have you two just kneel by the manger. And you guys just hang out. You can kneel. You want to kneel? Put the... There you go. Take the weight off your legs. Put it on the animals. All right. Well, the story goes on because there's other parts of the story. And as all of this was taking place, the Bible says in the fields nearby, there were shepherds keeping watch over their sheep. So here's my shepherds right over here. They were in the fields nearby, watching over their sheep. All right. And I love this part of the story because, again, who is he going to announce? The King of the universe, the Word of God has become flesh, and he's going to announce it to the kings and to the rulers of all the nations. And he will one day. But he starts with the simple shepherds. Why? Because there's faith in the heart. I believe these shepherds knew the story of the coming Messiah, and they were waiting to hear that story. And angels began to come. So all of a sudden it says the angels appeared in the sky. Come, my beautiful angels. Here, we'll make it a little bit of a sky. We'll have you guys step down right here, and the sheep. Keep watching over your sheep. Don't let them run away. Don't let them run away. Grab the sheep. Okay. All right. So anyway. All right. And the sheep settled down. But the angels appeared. And guess what? Shepherds, the angels appeared. And they were frightened. You know, here's the story again. Isn't it interesting? Every time God does something kind of spectacular, we tend to get fearful. We tend to get a little bit like, Lord, how can this be? You know, when I heard about Jane Green this week, I'm like, Lord, I'm like, why do we have to go there? I mean, we just had 5 funerals. Why maybe another? Church, that fear is so quick. But when we hear the word of God that all is well because it is well with my soul. And I begin to pray for Jane and my wife. And as we begin to just lift her up and others were praying, church, I want you to know the peace of God just settles because I knew all was well in Jane's heart. But I begin to pray for the family. I'm like, Lord, what a tough time of the season to walk through. And mom may be in a comatose state. But I want you to know, we don't have to live in fear. And even though they were afraid, the angel appeared to them and told them, a child is born unto you. Go ahead.
A child is born unto you.
Yeah. This day in the city of David.
And
it's Christ the Lord.
Christ.
Yeah. The Messiah. The one that everybody's been waiting for. They know about it. The animals kind of know about it, but now shepherds know about it. In fact, the Bible says they went and they found the child right where he was, lying in a manger, because the angels told him everything. You find him in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they found him, the Bible says, just like it. Remember, it needed to be the first place. It was the place that God had chosen. And now the people God has chosen. And so they went to the manger. And you can take your sheep with you because you got to keep watching him. And they found the baby just as it was told them. I'll position it later for a good picture. How's that? Angels, I'm going to just slip behind the manger scene there. The story goes on that probably some 2 years later, the wise men come, and we're going to get to them, but on that night, there was something that happened. In fact, anybody know what happened? You're all waiting for the story. A star. Bring it on out. A star appeared. Put it right there, center. Right between my angels, you got it. And I know she looks like she's the star of the show, but she's not, okay? But a star began to shine. Church, I wonder sometimes if we miss the moments, because it almost took 2 years probably for the Magi, once the star appeared, for them to travel and not give up on this journey. If God says something, if God puts a promise in front of you, no matter how long it takes, stay on the journey. Keep following Jesus. Keep following the promise that he put in front of you. And he put a star in the sky that night, and all of a sudden, these magi, these wise men from the east began to follow that star, and they came. So I need three wise men. And they probably had a camel that they rode. Interesting enough, God takes care of every detail, church. When they arrived, there was even a place to take care of their animals. God takes care of every detail of the story. So the wise men come, and they go to King Herod first. I'll be mean on King Herod. And they came to King Herod, and they said, "We've seen his star in the east," because all of this was fulfillment of prophecy. It was all stated in the Old Testament. Now it's happening. It's taking place. And even Herod said, can somebody go get the scrolls? Somebody bring them. I want to hear what it says in what God had recorded. And sure enough, they come and they said, the star will appear, and it'll be a sign, and it'll show where the child is born. Well, Herod said something so marvelous. He said, "I want you to go and I want you to find him. And when you find him, come and tell me so I can worship him too." Do you think Herod was telling the truth?
Nope.
He was not telling the truth. In fact, Herod, one of the sad parts of the story, and kids, I want you to listen carefully. Sad part of the story that we don't talk a lot about. But Herod was so bad that he had the children 2 years and younger killed. That's part of the story. It's a sad part of the story. And parents, you know that we're walking through an issue today with many lives being taken before they're even born. Church, the sacredness of life is powerful. And God wants us to understand. Now, he spared Jesus, and that's why they fled to Nazareth. But we need to know that we need to keep listening to God, because what did the wise men do? It says that they heard in a dream, they heard God speak to them and said, "Don't go back to Herod." And that says they departed a different way, because you listen to the Lord, not to Herod. Because people's motives are not always pure, but God will always watch over you. Well, the Bible says that when they entered the house, they brought something with them. So I need you guys to go get what you brought. And we'll let the camel, is the camel hungry? Need water? It's okay? All right. They brought with them gifts of what? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Isn't that cool? I wonder, when we bring our gifts, so many times we think of it as so tangible, when really he just wants your heart. He wants the human part of your life. And so many times we make it into something tangible, like, "Lord, I'll give you my house. Lord, I'll give you my car. Lord, I'll give you my money." All of that's wonderful, but nothing compared to a human heart. And they brought their gifts, and they fell down and worshiped. So, something going on. Take your gifts. Go give them to Jesus. Yep. All right. And the Bible does say they knelt down, not only offered their gifts, but they worshiped him. Church, there's a part of this story that I don't want you to forget tonight or tomorrow morning is that worship needs to be part of the story. To acknowledge Him, not just saying, yeah, it's your birthday, that's good, but I worship you. I bow down. I give you my heart and my life. You see, the story has a lot of characters in it, but it didn't end there. The story doesn't end with the characters of Christmas, because the story was about life change. You see, Mary's life was changed. Joseph's life was changed. Even the angels that came, the story now is bringing about much more worship than it ever did, because now the Lamb who was to be slain, now they worship in a different way. They bow down and worship the Lamb of God. The story, every part of every life, every creature that God made is impacted by this story. Not only that, wise men who come and shepherds. And I don't understand how God made animals. I know I don't believe they have a soul. But I do believe they were created to praise. Because the Bible says everything He makes, everything brings Him praise. And I'm sure that those animals that night probably got a clue. Something majestic is happening. I don't know about you, but my wife, we got a dog. We had a couple of them, but our more recent one, he has a problem with controlling himself all the time in the house. Okay? And so my wife decided that at mealtime we would just pray for him. So every mealtime now we pray over his meal separate from ours, and we pray, Lord, help Prince. He hasn't quite gotten it yet, but we're believing for the miracle. I believe everybody's affected. And today, your lives are affected. Not because you're wearing a costume, but you're part of the Christmas story too. Because you have given your hearts to the Lord. Because you have surrendered your lives. That, you know what? What we do today is we come and worship also. Somebody asked the remaining part of you, would you just slip a little closer to the manger? You know, I just want to scoot up a little bit. I trust that what we celebrate at Christmas, we will not lose this story. Last night, I had the opportunity, or yesterday afternoon, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra was downtown, and we were able to go and as a gift to us. It was incredible. In the second half of the program, first half, in fact, I was amazed at how much they brought Christ up and the story of Christmas. In the second half, here's some 15,000 people in the Little Caesars Arena, and a girl came out and began to sing, Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him. And when she finished, the place erupted. There's so many people who want the story of Christmas. They love the story. The struggle is somewhere between walking out the story and walking in this world. I kind of want the world, but I want the story too. You have to choose one or the other. Because the two do not meet. Even at Christmas, I know we can get very commercial about it. But I want you to know the story. I'd rather live in this story of Jesus as a part of my life than to have the world as a part of my life. The lights, even all the presents, they're wonderful. But you know what? I'd rather have Jesus. Kids, how many of you are excited about your presents tomorrow? Yep. But may I ask you, what is more important than all the presents? Who is it? Jesus? Yep, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's not the camel. No, He's soft, but he's not. The story's about Jesus. And I want to make sure that we keep Jesus first. He's first. And so this morning, well, that's kind of the story. Probably doesn't look like it looked back then. But we play acted again and again to never forget the baby who came to save the world. James, would you come? We're going to close with a simple little carol. Probably my favorite children's Christmas carol. And so I need you to help me. The words will be up there. And I just need everybody to help me. We're going to sing all three verses of this little simple carol. I'm not sure about the deep theology somewhere in the middle of this carol, because it says that, you know, the cattle were lowing and the baby awoke and he didn't cry. I probably think Jesus cried at some point. In fact, I know later on he wept over Jerusalem. And he probably weeps over your life if you've not committed to the story yet. And that's why I do like the last verse, though, where it invites him to be part of our lives. So would you lift this little carol with me today? It says, Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, a little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Second verse.
The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes.
Sing this, so I love thee, Lord Jesus.
Look down from the sky
and stay by my cradle till morning. I know this is a lullaby, but what if this was your lullaby every night? With me, stay, watch over my life. And that's why this next verse is the writer of this writes this lullaby. Ends with these phrases that can change our lives forever. This story can be your story, and you become part of the Christ story. You become part of the story of the gospel. But be near me, Lord Jesus. It is so simple. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. So many people don't feel like they're loved. I want you to know God loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. Doesn't matter the naughty list, because there is a saving power in the blood of Jesus that erases everything from your past and brings you close to Jesus. And then this final prayer says, bless all the dear children in thy tender care. And what's the story in? Take us to heaven. That's what we're living for. Would you bow your head for just a moment? Heavenly Father, in this place, there may be hearts that have not yet surrendered. And Lord, we believe in you. And Lord, what a great day to surrender to you. And Lord, if there's anyone in here, I pray that by faith, they would receive you into their life today. With heads bowed, and if that's you this morning, balcony or main floor, I want to pray with you this morning. But if you've fallen away from God, or maybe it's the first time you want to commit your life, would you just slip your hand up? You can slip it right back down. I just want to pray with you this morning. Yes, yes. Anyone else just looking around? Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would everybody say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be my Lord. By faith, I believe you died for me and you rose again. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you lift this? Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me. I pray and bless all the dear children in thy tender care. And take us to heaven to live with thee there. What a great story. Can you give all our actors a great round of applause? Amen. This morning, I know some of you might like to get a picture or two, so we'll arrange them and make a little nice, a little pretty arrangement just before you leave. But I'm going to ask my father-in-law, Reverend Wayne Benson, who, how many Christmases have you done? Oh, my goodness. Over 71 Christmases. Administered at more than that. Go ahead and stand with me. Administered at quite a few Christmas Eve services. And it's amazing. The story never gets old, though. You can tell it in many different ways, always with the truth. But in so many different ways that only the Holy Spirit can use in your heart. And the Holy Spirit wants to use the story in your heart this year. Maybe look past the manger in the sense of just the story and see how it fits into your life. God wants Christmas to really live in you, not just about you. Amen? So I'm going to ask my father-in-law to close this morning and in prayer and a blessing, a Christmas blessing over our homes. And the Christ child who still wants to redeem people tomorrow, the next day, until he comes. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are so eternally, profoundly grateful for the great gift, the greatest gift that you've ever given to planet Earth, your precious Son. And Lord, we thank you for the sense of the presence of God in this room. The greatest and most wonderful thing that we can experience is to actually come into your presence by way of your Son, who made that way through the redemption, the cross of Jesus Christ, the pain that he suffered, the blood that he shed. But thank you, Lord, for the powerful resurrection, and that that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead actually dwells in us, equipped for the rapture even now. We're thankful. And Father, we thank you for the gifts that you gave to us through Christ, the gifts of the Spirit, for every one of them, for the fruit of the Spirit, for the peace that we sense in your presence. And we thank you, Father, for the gifts that you gave to men, the pastors that are in this church. Thank you for Pastor Brooks and Tammy. Thank you for the pastors that surround them. And Father, we thank you for the family, that maybe some of the family is here, maybe some are extended family in other places, but we pray your blessing over the households that are represented in this place. We pray, Father, that you would give health and strength as we look to 2018. Lord, that every promise that you have determined for us, that we would not fall short of any one of those things, that the enemy would not short circuit any of the promises of God that you have for us in 2018. We pray, Lord God, that that you would give a sense of comfort and peace to the persecuted church. They're our brothers and sisters too. They're at a distance from us, and we don't even know their names, and we've never seen their face, but they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And some of them are under extreme duress and persecution, and maybe even some of them have been martyred already this year for their faith. But we know, Lord, that you're there with them, and the great gift of the Holy Spirit is the comforter. We pray you'll comfort them. And some in this room, Lord, need the comforter this year, for they've lost something that was precious to them. And we just pray that your comfort would overshadow and eclipse any of our grief or our sorrow or our fears. Now, Father, we ask that the blessing of God fall on every household and every person in this room. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. And may the Lord write his name on your heart and let you know you belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight, 5 o'clock, carols and candles, and we're just going to join together. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Have a Jesus-filled Christmas. God bless you. Kids, amen.